Title of my sermon this morning is Christ is Risen. Today is not just another Sunday. Amen?
Amen.
It is the day upon which our hope is anchored. It is the foundation upon which our faith is built and the declaration that shook the very gates of hell itself. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Hallelujah and amen. This morning we join with believers across the globe and throughout history in proclaiming the single greatest truth of our Christian faith. Jesus is alive. The tomb is empty. The stone is rolled away. Death could not hold him. The grave could not keep him. And Satan could not defeat him. So today we gather to celebrate Jesus' victory over sin, Satan, and death. Amen?
Amen?
We can declare like those first eyewitnesses that Christ is risen and He is risen indeed. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
We serve a risen Savior. We serve a Savior who sits at the very right hand of the throne of God in heaven. And today, he's awaiting that word when God looks at him and says, Jesus, go get the children. Now, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation of the Christian faith. Without the resurrection, the belief in God's saving grace and mercy through Jesus Christ is null and void. But when Jesus rose up from the dead, he proved his divinity as the Son of God. And his resurrection, it validated his works of atonement, redemption, reconciliation, and salvation. And this I know, Christ's resurrection was a real, physical raising up of Jesus' body from the dead. Amen?
Amen?
Y'all don't seem too excited about that point. So this morning, we want to look at what Christ's resurrection means to mankind. First and foremost, the resurrection of Jesus Christ means that we will be raised like Him. Christ is described as the first fruits of the resurrection from the dead, meaning that His resurrection is a precursor to the resurrection that all believers will experience. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which you also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now Corinth was a Greek city, and the Greeks did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. And when Paul had preached at Athens and declared the fact of Christ's resurrection, some of the listeners actually laughed at him. Now this skeptical attitude has somehow invaded the church. So Paul had been in Corinth and preached the message of the gospel, and their faith had transformed their lives. These believers in Corinth did believe in the resurrection of Jesus. So a fundamental part of the gospel message is the resurrection of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
After all, a dead Savior can't save anyone. Paul now writes a letter to encourage them and reinforces the truth and teaching of Christ's resurrection. And now the believers in Corinth have received the word. They've been saved and they were assured of their salvation. Christ's resurrection means that we have proof that Christ died. And we have proof because of His broken body. John chapter 20, verse 27 and 28. Then He said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. See, Thomas wasn't there the first time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after his resurrection. And Thomas had said, unless I touch his wounds, I would not believe. and bless his heart. Because of this one moment, he is forever remembered as Doubting Thomas. But when Jesus appears to his disciples the second time, Thomas, he's there. And Jesus, he shows him his wounds and offers them to Thomas so that he will no longer doubt. We see that Thomas doesn't actually touch Jesus, but his eyes open to the truth of the resurrection. And we have proof of the resurrection because sin has been vanquished. Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. 700 years before the birth of Christ, the prophet Isaiah wrote these words concerning the death of the Messiah. And this we know from God's word that sin is serious. Amen?
Amen.
The prophet calls it a transgression, which means a rebellion against God. That is, daring to cross a line which God himself has drawn. He also calls it an iniquity, which refers to crookedness of our sinful nature. And yet Christ allowed himself to be wounded and beaten and crucified that our sins might be forgiven. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
See, Jesus, he paid the price that the law demanded. And when Jesus paid that price, he paid it in full. Amen. The resurrection is proof that Christ was made a curse for us. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. You see, the law puts sinners under a curse. But Christ has redeemed us from that curse. And in this verse in Galatians, Paul is referring to Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 22 and 23. If a man has committed a sin deserving of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him that day, so that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. For he who is hanged is accursed of God. See, the Jews, they didn't crucify criminals. They stoned them. But in cases of shameful violation of the law, after being stoned to death, the body was then hung from a tree and exposed for all to see. And this was a great humiliation because the Jewish people were very careful in their treatment of a dead body. So after the body had been exposed for a time, it was then taken down and buried. And the tree that Paul is referencing here is the cross upon which Jesus was nailed and died upon. And by dying on the cross, Jesus bore the curse of the law for us. So that now as believers, we are no longer living under the curse of the law, but now we live under God's gift of amazing grace. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah and amen. Jesus Christ's resurrection means that God was satisfied with Christ's death. And this we know because God resurrected Christ by his power. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. See, Christ was resurrected that we might know the power of Almighty God. In the Old Testament, God's power was measured by his creation or the exodus of the Jews leaving Egypt. But today, we measure God's power by the miracle of Christ's resurrection. Because more than just raising Christ from the dead, he has ascended to heaven and sits in a place of authority at the right hand of God the Father. And so God resurrected Christ to his right hand. Acts chapter 5, verse 30 and 31. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Here Peter is indicting the Jewish leadership in the death of Jesus. And in doing so, he calls Jesus Savior. And the title of Savior was known to the members of the Sanhedrin Council. The word Savior was used for physicians who saved people's lives. It was used for philosophers who solved people's problems. And it was used for statesmen who saved people from the dangers of war. But Jesus Christ is the only true and living Savior who rescues us from sin, death, and judgment. And all you have to do to be rescued is believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son who was crucified, buried, and resurrected just for you. Amen? God, by the resurrection, proves Christ's sonship. Romans chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. You see, Jesus Christ is the center of the gospel message. And Paul identifies him as a man, a Jew, and the Son of God. He was born of a virgin into the family of David, which gave him the right to David's throne. He died for the sins of the world, and then he was raised from the dead. It is this miraculous event of substitutionary death and victorious resurrection that constitutes the gospel and establishes beyond a shadow of doubt that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen? Christ's resurrection means that prophecy has been fulfilled. David prophesied of the resurrection in Psalm chapter 16, verses 8 through 10. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, my glory rejoices, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. Church, when David wrote this psalm, he was referring to the Messiah and not himself. Using these verses, both Peter and Paul proved that Jesus had been raised from the dead. It was obvious that David was still in the tomb, his body being decayed. But Jesus, his body did not see corruption. He arose out of the tomb. He had a real and substantial body that was glorified. He could ingest food, but he was also able to appear and disappear as well as to pass through locked doors. The resurrection was promised to the fathers. Acts chapter 13, verse 32 and 33. And we declare to you glad tidings that the promise which was made to the fathers, God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus. As it is also written in the second psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. God made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that the whole world would be blessed because of them. And these men were the patriarchal fathers of the Old Testament. And the entire world has been blessed through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Amen? Christ himself prophesied the resurrection. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 18 and 19, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and discourage and to crucify, and the third day he will rise again. Over and over in scriptures, we see that Jesus knew all the events that would lead up to his death. He knew that he would be betrayed. He knew that he would be scourged, mocked, and ultimately crucified. But he also foretold that the grave could not hold him, and that on the third day he would rise again. Christ's resurrection means that we have a gospel to preach. Amen? It was a theme of Paul's gospel message. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Paul, he instructs his readers to remember Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the author of our salvation, and our purpose in life is to bring glory and honor to him. Amen?
Amen.
Also, Paul reminds us that Jesus died and he rose again, proving that suffering leads to glory and that seeming defeat leads to victory. Paul was in chains when he wrote this letter, but he never wavered nor doubted his message as he shared the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. So the resurrection is the basis of the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 13 through 17. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact he did not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Church, Christ came to earth truly human and experienced all the things that we experience, except without sin. But if there was no resurrection, then Christ was not raised. And if he was not raised, and then there is no gospel to preach. And if there is no gospel to preach, then your faith, it is in vain. And if our faith is in vain, then we find ourselves stuck in sin. If there is no resurrection, then believers who have died have no hope, and we shall never see them again. So you see, the resurrection is of first importance, because all that we believe in hinges upon it. Amen? Therefore, the resurrection is important in the plan of salvation. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 10. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Salvation comes from the gospel of Christ and the word of faith. And we do not have to perform a list of good works to be saved. All we have to do is put our trust, that is our faith, in Christ Jesus and him alone.
Amen.
We have to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and believe that he was crucified for our sins, and then that he was raised on that third day. Because without the resurrection, there is no victory over death. Christ's resurrection means that we can be justified before God. Oh, hallelujah. And our justification is based on Christ's resurrection. Romans chapter 4, verse 23 through 25. That was not written for his sake alone, that it was imputed to him. Here Paul is talking about Abraham. But also for us, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Justification means that our sins have been forgiven and erased as if they never happened. Amen? This means that the resurrection is the proof that God accepted his son's sacrifice and that now sinners can be justified without God violating his own law or contradicting his nature. The key to all of this is if we believe. His righteousness is given to those who believe in Christ, who is the object of our faith, who died for us and rose again. And justification brings no condemnation. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Church, God laws condemn, but we have been shown the way to escape the law's penalty, and that is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And there are no conditions attached to our freedom from condemnation. Grace offers an unconditional guarantee. All we have to do is wrap ourselves in the righteousness of Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide us. Justification also brings peace. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We are justified with God through the death of Jesus. And being right with God brings us peace, joy, and love. And above all, it means that we are no longer have to fear the wrath of God against us. Amen?
Amen?
Therefore, we have peace with God through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And peace simply means that the war is over. The arms of rebellion have been laid down. God's terms of amnesty have been accepted. See, we have something that this world can never take away. And that is the peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Christ's resurrection means that we have a high priest in heaven, a high priest that sits at God's right hand. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11 through 13. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made of his footstool. The ministry of the priest in the tabernacle and the temple were never done and never different. They offered the same sacrifices day after day. The constant repetition is proof their sacrifices did not take away the people's sins. Just think about the tens of thousands of animal sacrifices and what it could not do. And yet, Jesus would one final perfect sacrifice. He accomplished that remission of our sins forever. Amen? And now Christ, he sits in the place of exaltation and victory. And when he returns to earth in all his glory, he shall overcome every enemy and establish his righteous kingdom. His resurrection means that we have a high priest who makes intercession for us. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23 through 25. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make an intercession for them. So because Jesus' priesthood lasts forever, he can save us forever. Hallelujah. Amen. And he is able to save those who come to the Father through him, which is the promise of John 14:6, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And to this day, Jesus continues to intercede on our behalf, not because the Father is angry with us, but because we have an accuser who tries to hold us accountable for our sins, which have been forgiven. Satan stands in the very throne room of God, saying, look at what they have done. Look at how they sin. But we have a high priest and intercessor who stands here and says, paid in full. Oh, amen. Jesus' resurrection means that we have a high priest that is preparing a place for us. John chapter 14, verse 1 through 4. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. According to Jesus, heaven is a real place, a loving place, and an exclusive place. And we know that heaven is a place where God dwells and Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. Amen?
Amen.
And though Jesus' work on earth is finished, he is busy building and designing future dwelling places for you and me. The church, not everybody is going to heaven. Only those who put their trust in Jesus will get to go. But to us who believe in him, we will be received into heaven with open arms and a joyous welcome home by Jesus himself. Christ's resurrection means that believers have life after death. And this is because that Jesus Christ holds the keys to hell and death. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys to Hades and of death. Here the Lord reassures John by touching and speaking to him. The words, fear not, are a great encouragement to God's children. Because we do not need to fear life, because he is the eternal living one. We do not need to fear death, because he died and is now alive, having conquered death. And we do not need to fear eternity, because he holds the keys of hell and death. And the one who holds the keys controls our future. Amen. Christ's resurrection assures us of the resurrection of all believers. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. Our true witness to God is based on our faith in God, and this faith comes from God's book. We've all received the same indwelling spirit, We have all believed in Jesus' name, and there is coming a day that we shall be presented to Christ either by resurrection or rapture. Which means that Christ's resurrection assures believers of heaven. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. God, through His love, mercy, and grace, is through the process of our salvation that is being born again, has blessed us with eternal hope, a hope which stems from Jesus' resurrection, a hope that promises us an eternal inheritance that is reserved in heaven for each one of us, the hope that will be revealed when we enter into the kingdom of heaven. So the question for you this morning is, do you believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead?
Amen.
Are you willing to surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Because church, today is the day to be sure of your eternal destination. Amen?
Amen.
See, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not just a story from long ago. It is the living power of God at work today. It is the proof of that every promise God has made is true. It is the assurance that sin has been defeated, that the grave has lost its sting, and that eternal life is ours in Christ Jesus. Because Christ is risen, we have a gospel to preach. Because Christ is risen, we have justification before God. Because Christ is risen, we have peace with God. Because Christ is risen, we have a high priest in heaven. Because Christ is risen, we have a place prepared for us. And we have life, eternal, abundant, and victorious after death. So let the truth of the resurrection fill your heart with hope today. Let it give you the courage to walk by faith, knowing that our Savior lives. And as the angel proclaimed at the empty tomb in Matthew 28:6, He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And so we declare with joy and boldness, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. So let us go forth from this place, not as people who heard a message, but as witnesses to the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Amen, hallelujah, and glory be to God forever and ever.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for this time to remember the resurrection and the many promises that we have because of it. We thank You for the hope that we find and the truth that our Savior lives. That today He sits at Your right hand, intercessing on our behalf because of our accuser. Father, let us be bold in the hope that we have. And we lift this up in the name of our Savior, our Redeemer, and our eternal hope, our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. As we close,